Why don't we just praise the Lord right now? Why don't we give the Lord a hand clap of praise? He's worthy. Amen. He's the author and finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why don't we just pray in the Holy Ghost? If you got the Holy Ghost, why don't you just pray in the Spirit for just a little while longer? Hallelujah. Paul told Timothy to exercise the gift. To exercise the gift. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for the troubling of the waters. Thank you, Jesus, for the troubling of the waters this evening. Hallelujah. Boy, oh boy, I do feel a witness of the Holy Ghost here this evening. Everything that could go wrong went wrong today. The power trowel even broke down. We had to take it off the concrete and fix it and put it back on the concrete. And it was so hot in that building. It was like 100 degrees, man. But thank God. So anyways, it's an honor to be here and minister the word of the Lord to the body of Christ. I do believe the Lord has laid a word on my heart. Matter of fact, I did preach this message Sunday in California. And it's not just a message for one church. It's a message for the body of Christ, for the body as a whole. The Lord gave this to me about a week and a half ago and said, I want you to speak this whenever he opens that door. And I believe he's opened the door here tonight. So I'm very thankful. If you have your Bibles, if you would turn with me to John chapter number 12, verse 24. And it reads like this. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Would you pray? Would somebody pray? Thank you.
Thank you, Lord, for everyone that came here today. Lord, I pray that we could just involve ourselves in this message, God. And I pray, Lord, that we could hear this message. Brother Kale, I pray, Lord, that you could speak through him, God. God, as you were to bring it here, Jesus, I pray, Lord, that we could just give you all of our attention, Lord. Lord, we praise you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hallelujah. You may be seated if you'd like. I'm just warning you, I'm not a very good preacher. I'm not a sermon-style preacher at all. I don't do everything. I don't have preacher's etiquette at all. I'm not that way, so just warning you right now. John 12 and 24, I'm going to read it again. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. The title of my message tonight is The Last Final Great Harvest. You see, when you put a fruit-bearing seed in the ground, it dies. But that death is not how our human minds may observe it. You see, when somebody dies in our life, when a family member dies, or when our cat dies, or our dog dies, or anything around us dies, that's it. There, with that death comes sorrow and even joy if they made it into glory. That's how we as humanity observe and view death. But when a seed-bearing fruit dies, it goes into the ground and you cover that seed in the ground. And what happens that death, it is actually a germination process takes place where that seed that was hard, it begins to soften on in that ground. And when it softens, it opens up and begins to sprout. Has anybody ever seen a bag of seeds? I'm sure that there are many in here that have planted gardens that you've seen a bag of seeds. A bag of seeds in the bag, it actually has no value sitting in the bag. It can do absolutely nothing for us just sitting in the bag. That bag of seeds does nothing. But when you put that bag of seeds in the ground, what happens is a death takes place to those seeds, where that outer shell that was once hard becomes soft and it sprouts. And what happens after a few months, that seed bearing fruit, if you would, when it comes out of the ground, all of a sudden you've got fruits and vegetables growing on the vine. And what does that do? It can feed people. I love it. We've had a garden for 3 years. I'm a rookie at it, but I absolutely love it when we start to see that fruit and those vegetables come, because you can pick it one time off of the vine and feed your family. But it's not just once. You can pick it two times and three times and feed your family. Amen. That's what a seed does when you put it in the ground. It dies, but it brings life when it dies. Amen. Let's go ahead and raise our hands right now, talking to Jesus. Well, I feel the Holy Ghost. Go ahead and talk to him. My message is very short tonight. Hallelujah. What I want to preach to you, what I want to minister and even prophesy to this great group of people. Yeah, I'm going to prophesy to each and every one of us here tonight. You see, the church has been in a season of death. The body of Christ has been in a place of death where some of us have felt like things have died all around us. Yes, physically, family members have died. Ministries have died. Relationships have died. Even finances in some of our lives have died. And it's all according to the process that God has put in motion. Because except a seed, a corn of wheat die, it abideth alone. But when we die, when God removes some things out of our lives that we held dear, even could have been distractions in our lives, when he removes it and brings death, it's only so he can bring more fruit and a harvest to not only your life, but my life and the city and the state and the So if you are in a season of death, or you feel like death is all, oh, come on, somebody, you got to count it joy. You got to count it joy when you're in a season of death, when it seems like everything around you is falling apart. Rejoice in the moments where it seems like life is upside down, because God's got you right where he wants. Oh, I wish somebody would get excited about it. I wish a fire would rise up in someone's heart. I'm going to be transparent with y'all. This season that we've been in, I told my wife, I was whining to my wife. I said, babe, and this is nothing against the church, this is a great church, I said, did the Lord just send us to Jefferson to die? Did he just send us here to die? And my sweet wife, she said, babe, he didn't just send us here to die. Thank God my wife's not a Jezebel saying, oh yeah, he did. But she spoke life. And why you ask, well, Brother Kay, what are you talking about? Because the last season, Brother Klein, I was preaching every weekend. Had a phone call every weekend. If we didn't have anything, somebody was calling us. Going overseas, had multiple trips overseas to do crusades, but this season it just stops, and I refuse to call people to preach in their pulpits. I will not do it. This is where that this message, the Lord began to deal with me. I'm praying and whining to the Lord, and the Lord speaks to me, and he says, Kayo, I did send you there to die. He said, I did send you to Jefferson to die. He said, but not in the way that you think, not the way that you view it. He said, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abideth alone. Then he began to speak to me and tell me, he said, Kale, we are on the verge of the last and final great harvest. And he said, the church has been in a season of death, and that's what you're feeling because you're in the middle of it. And he said, I am preparing a people for the final and great harvest. God speaks, and he told me, he said, in this last and final harvest, he said, the glory of the Lord will fall upon this earth like has never been seen by mankind. He said, it will be such a great move of the Spirit of God that it will confuse the enemy. It will confuse religious tradition and the enemy of your soul. He said, I've got my people in a preparation period. My goodness. If you believe that, I want you to raise your hands and talk to Jesus. Go ahead, talk in tongues right now. Oh, rabashotorobondaye. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Go ahead. Talk to him. There's something moving in here right now. I refuse, as a man of God, I refuse, as a child of God, to stay stagnant in the house of God. I refuse to just fill a pew. I refuse to not open up my mouth and speak what thus says the Holy Ghost. I refuse not to open up my mouth and say what the Word of God says. I refuse, hallelujah, to stay in a place where I cannot be an instrument in the hand of God. I refuse not to go to a place and die so God can bring life. Whatever it takes to die. So that at one moment that I can bring forth much fruit. Point at yourself and say that I can bring forth much fruit. God's not looking at your background. He doesn't care what your position is, what your title is. He does not care about all that garbage. Humanity cares about it. We think when we have a position and a title, we're somebody. But God says, no, who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord but he that hath clean hands and a pure heart? Oh, you
you want to be used by God, you got to find yourself in the ground dead where He can purify your soul. We got so many title chasers in this hour. We got so many people that want to be called preacher, that want to be called pastor, that want to be called youth pastor. And they think, well, I feel it in the Holy Ghost. When they think, when they get to that moment, they've reached it. I'm sorry to tell you, you haven't reached it until you die. You haven't reached it until you get to a place of purity with God. You see, you know what the purity does? It causes you to walk in humility. When you start to purify yourself at the throne of God. Yeah, my goodness. You see, God doesn't care. I just feel it in the Holy Ghost. He doesn't care of your background. He doesn't care how many mistakes you made. What He cares about is, are you hungry for the things of God? Are you hungry to see people make it into heaven? Are you hungry to see the broken heart restored? Are you hungry? Oh, do you walk down the street and you see somebody that may not have what you have, and all of a sudden you're jolted by the Holy Ghost and the compassion begins to move on you? Hey friend, if you're not in that place, we've got to die. We've got to go to a place of purity so I can feel the infirmities of those around. You want to be a preacher? You want to be a minister? Find yourself at an altar. Find yourself in the spout where the fire of the Holy Ghost can purge you. Where God's fire can purge you. He will take a nobody in the eyes of man, somebody that they wrote off, somebody that they say, well, they just don't have it together. Their family's all messed up. Hey, their marriage is all messed up. Their kids are all messed up. The individual that everybody else chatters about behind closed doors. Can you believe that individual? Can you believe what they do? My goodness. And we call ourselves Christians, but we're ready to stab our brethren in the back. God can take an individual that society writes off, no matter the sin, no matter the problem. He can take that, oh, I don't care what they said at a meeting. I don't care what they said at a board meeting. Yeah, I'm going to say it. I don't care how they wrote you off. All I know is when you get in the presence of God and die, He can say, I can use you. You know what happens? Mistakes surround our lives. And because those mistakes seemingly surround our lives, and we can feel the judgment of others looking at us, chattering about us, it hurts when people don't trust you. It hurts when they chatter behind closed doors. It really does. And so what happens is when somebody is not mature in Christ and all of that chatter is going on, And when the body of Christ is not being the body, the body of Christ is not being the body of Christ. Somebody new comes in. They haven't got the understanding that we've got. We start chattering about them. We start already killing them before they succeed. Guess what happens in the spirit? Hallelujah. That heaviness comes over that individual. And all of a sudden they feel like they cannot succeed. That's why the Bible says the tongue is the most unruly member of the body. With it come out blessings and cursings. There's life and death in the power of the tongue. Paul said, void of offense towards God and man. Void of offense towards God and man. Doesn't matter if you were to make a mistake. My job as a Christian is to be void of offense towards this. Not saying that he has done. I'm just using his enemies as an example because I'm comfortable with Brother Kenny. Not saying that he's done that, but because he makes a mistake, my job is to be void of offense, is to protect his integrity and his character. That's my job as a Christian, not a preacher. As a Christian, is to protect the integrity of my brothers and sisters, no matter how far they fall. Because what does the word say? Such were some of you. He said, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one, lest ye fall. Restore your brother. You want to be a minister of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Operate in the spirit of restoration. My goodness. Be that individual that applies the anointing oil. Well, I don't know where you come from. I don't know what you've done. Oh, but I'm going to be standoffish from you because I'm trying to protect my own. I'm so selfish and I got to protect my own. So I can't help you like I should. Am I making sense? That's why it's important to die. That's why, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abideth alone. I can't become so comfortable in my Christianity, in my church attendance. I'm not against church attendance. Please don't misunderstand me and say, oh man, Brother K.O.'s way out there. What I'm trying to say is I can't become so proud and arrogant in who I think I am. Because I'm absolutely nobody. Absolutely nobody. Without Christ, we can do nothing. Every hand raised right now. Boy, I feel the Holy Ghost. Pastor Harder, I apologize. You can, if you're watching this. Hallelujah. I refuse as a Christian not to be in a place where the fire cannot touch my life. I refuse as a Christian not to be in a place where God can purge me. I refuse as a Christian to walk in this world lukewarm with one foot in the church and one foot in the world. I refuse to bury my talent in the earth. I refuse. No, God, I want you to bury me till I die so that the talent you put in me can multiply. I refuse to allow my spirit to become sideways with the people of God. I refuse because I want God to multiply who I am in Him. How many feel that way? How many in this room? You just want God to multiply you, and not for your sake, but for His sake, for the kingdom of God. He did not call you out of darkness just for you not to multiply, but He called you out of darkness to multiply you. But are you willing to die? Are you willing to be buried in the ground? Are you willing to put off things that don't bring Him glory? Are you willing to say, God, whatever it takes so I can be used in this hour? If that means I got to walk away from a conversation where they're gossiping about the people of God. If that means I've got to separate myself from friends that aren't giving God glory. How bad do you want the harvest? Is God aligning you with the harvest? Ask yourself that question. Are you putting yourself in a position that you can be aligned for the final and great harvest? Or will you be one of those where the Bible talks about a great falling away? I am convinced, Brother Jerome, that even in the apostolic church, we can fill a pew and come to the house of God and yet be fallen away. I'm convinced. Because we didn't align ourselves with the harvest, with God's final and great harvest. This final and great harvest that will sweep the earth, it will be like no man has ever seen. It'll be one last time that God's glory fills the earth, and it's happening now. But it will happen in such a great way that not one man will be able to take the glory. Because the Bible says He'll share His glory with no one. You won't be able to write a book about it. You won't even have the answer for it, how the harvest happened. It will be solely a great move of God, where whole cities come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, where once principalities and powers overshadowed that city, that nation. But one last time, God, I am convinced, one last time God will move. As for me and my house, Now, I'm not saying nobody in here, please don't misunderstand me. As for me and my house, anybody else feel that way? Point at yourself. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we're going over the River Jordan. And we're not going by ourselves, church. We're going together in one mind and one accord. So therefore, if you see your brother struggling, Brother Kenny, you see your brother struggling, why don't you grab him and say, hey, lock arms with me. We're going over the River Jordan. I'm not going to leave you behind, but you're coming with me because I know that God's got something on your life, and I refuse to leave my brother behind. Nobody gets left. I refuse to allow the least of them in my mind to get left. That means 7 days of prayer, which we weren't here for all of them. Yikes. Y'all already knew that. Well, some of y'all did. I just put myself on blast. If that means 7 days of prayer and fasting, if that means all night prayer meetings, if that means being woken up by the Lord at 3 a.m. to pray for your church, to pray come on, it's time to die. Oh Lord, I want you to raise your hands right now and say, God, put me in the ground to die that I can bring forth fruit. Is there anybody in this house that says, God, if you can use anything, Lord, you can use me? If you feel that way, I want you to stand to your feet and lift your hands as high as you can right now. Hey, you may not agree with who I am. You may not agree how I preach, but I'm telling you the word of the Lord. Matter of fact, I can feel some of your disagreement, but hey, that's not going to hinder me. Hey, even when you feel people's disagreement, don't let it hinder you. Keep moving forward because it ain't about anybody else that's trying to keep you down. It's about us and the body moving forward. And if people aren't going to get a hold of it, oh well. Boy, I can feel it. Lord Jesus, break every yoke and every bondage in this house. Oh, itaraboshete arunai, ikataramandoroboshe. I know nothing save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's got to be my mindset in this hour. Knowing nothing save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Baptizing them. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. And we know that name. If I left y'all there, I'd probably never be asked to preach if I just said Father, Son, Holy Ghost. I might just leave it there. No, I'm just kidding. We know that name is none other than Jesus Christ. I'm sorry, I'm just feeling excited. Am I okay? Is this all right? Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, God did not call you just to sit and fill a pew. No, God called you to make disciples of all nations. He called you and put his spirit in you so you could be used in this last day. So you could be a mouthpiece of the Most High God. He didn't call you to be perfectly Pentecostal. No, he called you and put a fire in. When you're in prayer, can you see them? Can you see all of those people in your family that don't have what you have? When you're in prayer, can you see your coworkers? They don't have what you have. When you're in prayer, hey, are you like Colin, who at work, he begins to pray and they make fun of him? Well, guess what, my friend? If he continues, it's going to change. You want to know why it's going to change? Because just like Elijah, when he went in and he called out Jezebel's prophet, it was one prayer. It was one prayer by Elijah that caused fire to fall from heaven and consume. And the Bible says in that moment that all of Israel served the Lord. Oh. Are you hearing me right now? It's just one prayer that will cause the darkness to turn away. It ain't about your family last name. You know what it's about? Your ability to yield to the Spirit. Who cares if they make fun of you at school? Who cares? Find a prayer room. Who cares if they make fun of you at the job? Who cares if they make fun of you at church? Find a prayer room. Because in one moment, fire. Do you believe that? Do you believe the word of God? Do you believe that he loves you enough that when you call on his name, that he will move on your behalf? Come on. Come on. The Bible says, this is it, we're going to have altar call. The Bible says David said, the Bible says that David cried unto the Lord and he heard him out of his holy hill. You say, I don't have a pedigree, preacher. My family's so messed up. If you look at my family lineage, it's full of drug addicts and weirdos. How can God use me? You're just the individual that God wants to use. God never chooses from the strongest. He never chooses the top pick of the litter, if you will. God always finds the runt. He always looks for the things that are despised and rejected. He always looks for the things that everybody else has turned away from, because he knows that he can use a broken vessel. He's not looking for you to preach camp meeting. Matter of fact, I'm convinced that God doesn't want you to preach camp meeting. He doesn't want your name to be blasted and say, brothers and sisters so-and-so are coming to preach. Everybody gets all excited. Everybody wants to be one of those Hollywood preachers, if you will. God's looking for those he can use in the deep places. The Bible says the deep calleth to the deep. And God's calling somebody here today. Are you willing to go where the fire can meet you? Are you willing to put your dreams off to the side and let them die so that God can consume you as an individual and use you in this last day? Some of you, even right now, this whole time I have been preaching, I can feel you doubting yourself that God really wants to use you. You're waiting for somebody to call you out and prophesy over you and say, this is what God wants to do. But if you'll come to the altar here tonight, and you'll find yourself in that secret place. Yeah, there may be a bunch of people around here, but you find yourself in that secret place. The fire will meet you, and God will begin to tell you who you are in Him and what He wants to do through you. These altars are open. Why don't we come up to the front? If you want to meet God in that secret place, I want you to come up here right now. And I want you to come up here in faith believing that Jesus really loves you.
Feel it in this room, Holy Spirit, move. 'Cause when you have your way, something has to break and tear down every lie, set the wrong thing right. 'Cause when you have your way, something has to break, and something has to break. Oh, yes, something has to break. Oh, Jesus, I feel it in this room. Holy Spirit, move. 'Cause when you have your way, something has to break and tear down every lie, set the wrong thing right. 'Cause when you have your way, something has to break, and something has to break. Something has to break right now in your name. Something has to break, and something has to break. Something has to break right now in your name. Something has to break. Oh. This room, Holy Spirit, move. 'Cause when you have your way, something has to break and tear down every lie, set the wrong thing right. 'Cause when you have your way, something has to break. I feel it in this room, Holy Spirit, move. 'Cause when you have your way, something has to break. something has to break and tear down every lie, set the wrong thing right. 'Cause when you have your way, something has to break. And something has to break. Something has to break right now in your name. Something has to break. And something has to break. Something has to break. I believe you'll lead me through it. I believe you'll get me to it. And I believe that you will do it right now. And something has to break. I believe you'll lead me through it. And I believe you'll get me to it. And I believe that you will do it right now. And something has to break. And I believe you'll lead me through it. And I believe you'll get me to it. And I believe that you will do it right now. I feel it in this room. Holy Spirit, move. 'Cause when you have your way, something has to break. And tear down every lie, set the wrong thing right. 'Cause when you have your way, something has to break. And something has to break. Something has to break right now in your name. Something has to break. Something has to break right now in your name. Something has to
room. Holy Spirit, move. 'Cause when you have your way, something has to break and tear down every lie, set the wrong thing right. 'Cause when you have your way, and something has to break. I feel it in this room. Holy Spirit, move. 'Cause when you have your way, something has to break. Tear down every lie, set the wrong thing right. 'Cause when you have your way, something has to break. Feel it in this.
tear down every lie, set the wrong thing right. 'Cause when you have your way, something has to break.
Let's close in prayer, but let's make sure to thank God, number one, for a willing vessel, but for his word. Whether it stepped on your toes or encouraged you, you needed it, I needed it. It was the word that God had ordained to be given at this moment in time. So let's close in prayer. Amen. Jesus, I thank you for the word that you gave, Lord. I thank you, Jesus, for the willing vessel that gave it, for his preparation and his willingness, especially in a busy week and on a day that didn't go as planned. But Lord, I thank you that your word always makes a way. I thank you, God, that your ways are higher than ours, Lord. And I pray that the Spirit would bring this word to remembrance in our lives when we need it and when we don't. I pray we live out your word every day, and especially not be hearers, but doers of the word. And Lord, I thank you, God, for just who you are. And in the wonderful, precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.